We thank you for this great nation that we live in. A land where we can be free. A land where we can worship you according to the dictates of our conscience. A land where we can come to church and not worry about the authorities coming to remove us. We can be free. If we want to praise you, we can praise you in a certain way. If you want to cry, we can cry. We want to shout hallelujah, we can shout hallelujah. Because we are free in you. Bless us now as we discuss our true Independence Day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Today, as I speak to you, there's a major debate going on in our country regarding whether or not to grant amnesty to millions of people from other countries who have taken up lives here, who have bought homes, who have secured jobs, and wait now to call the United States of America their permanent country. I would like to say to them that in a few days our nation will celebrate Independence Day. It's a day that's set aside to celebrate our freedom as Americans, and to reflect upon what it means. I've entitled the message, as you note in your bulletin, Our Independence Day. I would say to those who desire to be a part of our nation that it's also a time to reflect on what it costs for us to be free. National liberty did not come cheap. For countless millions have given their lives in various wars since the birth of our nation. In fact, they've done this all over the world. The Revolutionary War in 1775 to 1783, 50,000 individuals lost their lives. The Civil War, 620,000 lost their lives. I say that national liberty does not come cheap. Can I get one amen? It cost. And then the world was involved in the cause of freedom. World War I was called the war to end all wars. 10 million people lost their lives. Did you hear what I said? 10 million people. And that was not the war to end all wars, for we had World War II. And around the world, 62 million people lost their lives. 10 million in the Soviet Union alone. 25 million soldiers on the battlefield lost their lives. The Korean War, 2 million people lost their lives. Vietnam War, 3.2 million lost their lives. And now in Iraq, over 40,000 Iraqis and over 2,300 U.S. service men and women lost their lives. Fighting for freedom sounds like it's not really free. And it costs. But you know what confuses me, and you'll hear me use that word a lot from this time on. In fact, I'm not just confused, but I'm disappointed. Because somehow we forget, those of us who have been born here, we forget that national liberty does not come cheap. There is a price for freedom, and so I'm confused when Patrick Abraham, a.k.a. Brother Pat, and Rothschild Augustine, a.k.a. Brother Rot, and Brother Manna, and Brother B, and Brother Levi, and Brother Sunni, and Brother Marty, who live in Liberty City outside of Miami. I'm confused that they're in a nation that's free, that they wanted to bring down the world's tallest building, the Sears Tower. And their objective, and I will quote, our goal is we want to kill all the devils we can in that attack, and we want it to be just as good or greater than 9/11. Would you help me understand that? How is it you can be in a nation where you're free, where there are countless millions who are trying every single day to get here? You were born here, and you want to bring it down. Help me to understand that. I believe that we really don't understand, and we no longer realize how important freedom is. You know, this, and I know this is being taped. This is not a Seventh-day Adventist. This is my view, what I'm getting ready to say right now. So if you download this, this is coming from Gerald Jones, my ideas. I believe that we do not understand the price of freedom. And I believe that everybody that comes into this country from another country ought to be able, should be made to serve in some capacity. Be it military, be it public service. You shouldn't just arrive here and it's all given to you. I know that's controversial. That's my view. Because you need to understand that it costs. I think we give our children a false sense of impression, a false ideas and impressions when we just let them go out and protest. They haven't done anything, not doing anything, just protest. You ought to serve first. You ought to understand what it takes to make this nation great. That's my ideas. I know I wasn't going to get many amens off of that one, but that's okay. Why would these men in Liberty City want to do this to our great nation? I believe that God has allow this nation to remain free for a major reason. He has allowed this nation to remain free because in this nation is the opportunity for us to really be free. For it is in this nation that the gospel can be preached. That's why God allows this nation to stay free. Because you know, as great as this nation is, you know you're not really free until you give your heart to Jesus Christ. In fact, when you read the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter, if you would turn there just briefly, I know you've seen it, and she just read it well. The Christians are new believers. And it almost gives the connotation that there's a certain national pride. I'm not a slave. Why are you talking to me about slavery? We've never been in bondage to anyone. What do you mean about you will be free? And even though the Romans had them in bondage, one commentary said there was a strange stance of being blind, an obstinate blindness. by the people. You see, the Bible says in chapter 8, in verses 31 through 36, that we who commit sin are slaves to sin. That's what God wants to free us from. The slavery of sin. And in fact, if you don't believe that we're slaves of sin, I want to read something about the heroes of faith. Someone said that the heroes of faith were backsliders and not backslappers. They experienced tribulation more than triumph. They grimaced more than they grinned. They have people like Noah, the drunken fool. I'm reading this. David, the murderer, who murdered out of a lust for a woman. Jacob, the blasphemous, polygamous, ungrateful scoundrel. And the background of Paul is too long to discuss. The temper and the prejudice of Peter. The disciples who wanted to be first, James and John, and was only thinking about themselves in the kingdom. Those are the heroes of the faith. What about you and I? Are we slaves to sin? You bet we are without Jesus. You can be sure of that. Those were the heroes that I mentioned. And then there's the story of the prodigal son. You know the story, Luke 15, the most wonderful story in all the scriptures. The son came to the father wanting his freedom. He came to the father and says, I want to be free. Give me what's mine and let me leave home. And so the father gives him what he asked for, gives him his portion, and he goes far away from home. And he gets there, and you guess what he says? I'm free. I'm free. I can see him jumping up and down saying it. I'm free. I'm free. Then his money runs out. And many times and in many places when your money runs out, your friends leave you. So-called friends. And he found himself a slave. A slave to sin. One of the things that you'll find out in any nation, doesn't matter where you go, you are going to have to be under authority. Wouldn't you agree? You're going to be under some rule of law, some dictate, some authority. Now, for the Christians, we're under the authority of Jesus Christ. I can't think of a better authority to be under than the authority of Jesus Christ. But you're going to be under some authority. That's what, sometimes I think we don't understand freedom. We think it means I can do anything I want to do whenever I want to do it. And so the prodigal son finds himself under the authority of a hog farmer, hungry, wallowing in the mud with the hogs. When you're free, you're still going to be under some authority. For us, it's Jesus Christ. Not only that will you be under authority, freedom says, but the Bible says that truth shall make you free. So I am puzzled, confused again, why a nation as great as ours would ever be afraid of the truth. Y'all didn't get that. It went on over you. Did you hear what I... Why would a nation this great ever be afraid of the truth if the truth sets you free? Why would a nation have a day, commandment day, and then soon as we get involved, they go and hide? They really don't want to know the truth. Why should anybody in this nation be afraid of the truth? I've always been amazed as you give Bible studies. Seventh-day Adventists are really into spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and teaching others about the Bible. Have you ever given a Bible study to someone and then you get to some of the things that are in the Bible, the Sabbath being one of them, and some of the things that we believe, and then the individual gets afraid and won't accept the truth because of family, because of job, because of circumstances around them? They are afraid. Why would you be afraid of the truth? Help me understand that. If you're free. You know what I believe? There's not a soul born on this soil of the United States that will stand in the judgment and say they did not have the opportunity or they were not free to accept the truth as it is in Jesus. It's kind of sobering, isn't it? There will be, everybody in here today, there will be no excuse. There's nobody coming to drag us out of here for studying, for wanting to know. It doesn't happen here. We are a blessed nation. We are free. Aren't you glad that you're free? The truth shall make you free. And then if the Son makes you free, the Bible says, you'll be free indeed. It will be when you give your heart to Jesus, it becomes your Independence Day. Now on the 4th, I'm going to fire up some super links and some grillers. Some of you are going to fire up ballparks. Hope it's the beef kind. And we're just going to have a good time. But you get free. I mean, you really get free. Not on July 4th. But you get free on the day that you let Jesus come into your heart. That is your Independence Day. For you then are no longer a slave to sin. Second Corinthians 3:17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Bill, there is freedom. In God's house, there's liberty and there's freedom. This ought to be the freest place in San Diego County right now, where we are. Because the Spirit of the Lord resides here. That's why we're not afraid. That's why I appreciate you, Father. I know you're not afraid or ashamed to say amen. I know I don't have to prompt you because you're free. How you like that for getting amens, huh? I know that some people clap in church, some don't. But I know you're free. We're not going to kick you out if you do. Amen? Because this is a place where the Spirit is. There's freedom. Now, freedom doesn't mean you can do anything you want to do. There is authority that we come under. Sometimes we have to abide by the rules of there. And we don't mind doing that. This past week, if the person next to you sleep, we want you to wake them up because they want to get this. This is important. Two of the richest men on earth made the decision that they would give away their fortune. Bill Gates, Warren Buffett. Probably together they're worth over $100 billion, we think. When you got that much money, you probably don't know what you're worth. They have decided to give away most of their fortune. And I tried to figure out how much was that. And so one book I was reading said, if you took the entire fortune, they used $100 billion, and you made that fortune up in dollar bills, it would stretch from the earth to the moon 6,000 times. Another way they described it, if you spent $10 million a day, every day, for your entire life, your whole family would not spend it all. For your entire life, $10 million a day. That's how much money they're going to give away. You know why they're doing that? Because they have discovered that money will not make you free. They've discovered what we already know. I hope we know that. Money will not make you free. I need to close just in the interest of time. Two stories, and I'm going to close. One you've heard. Goes around, around, around. It's coming around again. I'm going to do it again because it makes my point. Harry Houdini, great magician. He could get out of any lock. He used to advertise that. They would put him in jail, and Harry Houdini would get out of any lock. This time they put Harry Houdini in jail, and he had on his belt, and he had a device inside of his belt that was strong and flexible at the same time. He could just pick a lock. But this time they put Harry Houdini in jail, and he started picking that lock. 30 minutes passed. He was still in there. That's a long time for him. An hour passed. He was still in there, started to sweating. Time marched on. He still did not get out. 2 hours. He was totally exhausted. He collapsed on the jail door, and it swung wide open. Now you know, you already got the answer already. It was never locked! Sometimes I think Jesus has set us free. We have given our hearts to Him, but we still find ourselves not free. You know what I'm talking about. This week, it was December the 26th. I remember it because it was the day after Christmas, 1996. And the story goes that Patsy Ramsey laid over the lifeless body of her daughter, JonBenet. And she prayed that her daughter would be raised from the dead. Let me tell you something about being free. This is important. Being free in Jesus, now no longer being a slave to sin, does not mean that you won't have problems. Does not mean that you will not have trials. As long as you're on planet Earth, you'll have trials and difficulties, some of them that you cannot even explain. That doesn't mean you're not free. This is important. So she laid over her daughter, prayed for her daughter to be resurrected, and her daughter was not. She had had cancer, but it had been in remission. And I was shocked to find out that this week that Patsy Ramsey died of cancer. It came back. She was a Christian lady, but that cancer came back. I just can't help but think that when that happened to her daughter, that she was not really free again. Isn't the devil a trick? Isn't he a trickster? He tries to make us think that we are not free. But I want to let you know, if I could tell her, and I know I can't, I would tell her that Jesus is able at the resurrection morning to rise, to have her daughter rise in newness of life. You know, when God gets through, you're talking to, see, you think you know something about freedom because you're in the USA. When God establishes his kingdom, you're going to see some freedom. You're talking about freedom. We're going to know something about freedom. You don't know nothing about freedom. Wait till God sets up his kingdom. We're going to be free. The space shuttle's going up this week. It's not even going anywhere. It's not free. Wait till God. Wait till God sets up his kingdom. You're going to be free. And because you're with Jesus, you're going to be free indeed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you. That we can have freedom in you. Even in this world where there's trials and difficulties and sorrows, we're still free. We're free. We're not slaves of sin. Doesn't mean that we'll never do anything wrong again. But we're not going to be practicing sinners. We're going to put our trust in you in all things. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We magnify your holy name. It's Independence Day once again for us. And I would be remiss as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed if I would not give the opportunity for a man, woman, boy, or girl who has not given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you haven't, you're not really free. Now, if you've done that, I'm not asking you to raise your hand again. But if you've not given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to say, yes, Jesus, to you, I'm giving my heart because I want to be free, I'd ask you to lift your hand. If you have not done that, you want to do that. If you want to do that in Jesus' name, you have not done that before, we give you that opportunity. Thank you, Lord, that we're free. Thank you for the cross that freed us. Thank you for the heaven that will allow us to exercise that freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.